Welcome to Bite Size Dental Marketing. Today I have Shelly Bostrom. Shelly, thank you so much for taking the time to jump on with me today. I know you're a founder of Align My Practice, and on the pre-show we were talking about the state of orthodontic and airway movement that's happening, the Invisalign becoming ubiquitous with, you know, clear aligners and other stuff. But before we jump into that, I would love to hear your origin story. How did you get started? Where did Align My Practice come from?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Eric. I'm excited to meet you and join you today. So yes, Shelly, founder of Align My Practice Consulting. We're in our third year, and just a little history on me, a long history, I guess. I've been in the dental industry, ortho industry for many years, started really right out of high school. Started off more clinical. So I think that what makes me kind of unique as a practice consultant is that I've worn every hat in the office except for the doctor. I've been an RDA. I was a scheduling coordinator. I've done financials. I've done marketing. I've done TC, practice manager. And then over the years, kind of dabbled a little bit in consulting with my network of doctors locally who just, you know, kind of wanted to pick my brain or want my help on things. And I made the jump and took the leap of faith to start my own business. And it's been amazing. So I do both virtual and on-site coaching. My passion really is ortho, but I also work with some GP and pedo offices as well. If they are, you know, integrating clear aligners or they want to start phase one ortho, then I'm able to support them as well. That's a little bit about me.
That's so great. Now, when you think of your time in dentistry, can you point to what you believe the most significant, transformative, or product that has been brought to market in that time frame?
Ooh, that's the
biggest advancement.
Biggest advancement. Goodness. I would say that, I mean, clear aligners for sure, I think is amazing. I think that when Invisalign, you know, was first introduced, I was definitely working in the industry and was always, if you just needed minor correction, this is an option. Otherwise, it's just going to be, you know, braces.
You've metal got braces.
Just different options of metal braces or clear braces. So I think definitely having options. As you mentioned earlier, I am a super passionate about airway focused orthodontics, and a lot of practices and doctors, I think, don't really believe that clear aligners like Invisalign can help with jaw positioning. It's more just tooth alignment, but they have mandibular advancement. There's some other clear aligner companies out there as well that, you know, have buttons and ramps and things like that to help with lower jaw advancement. And I think just that industry definitely has come a long way. That, I mean, I've been part of a practice where we were 98% clear aligner treatment, and it was, we had surgical cases, we had, you know, skeletal expanders, and the correction can happen, can absolutely happen. So I think just having options for patients where you can confidently say you're going to get the exact same result, you pick which option is best for you.
That was so well said. I would agree. I think it's hard to move past, just from a sheer marketing standpoint, I'm going to answer from sheer marketing, how powerful Invisalign has become in the dental field, because you nailed it. It has moved from just widening a little bit of the front or something like that, or some correction, to a fairly massive following that people are now becoming so educated on what it can do for them. It's grown as fast or faster than implants, which I would say is the other one that's probably surged over the past decade. It is, you know, just the affordability and availability of getting an implant. But it's wild that the work they're doing in the pathway and you know, just moving beyond just simple straightening is so wild. But yeah, very well said.
Yeah. Now, even the phase one on clear aligners, which again, a lot of pediatric offices don't think that's an option. You know, there won't be compliance. The kids aren't going to wear them. And I have found those kiddos are way more compliant than the adult patients. They
does not surprise me.
As they're told. And then you've got the benefits of, you know, like really great oral hygiene. The all the crazy food restrictions aren't there. And they really get into the habit of wearing them. So even the, you know, I've seen where phase one with clear liner treatment definitely works. It works just as well as braces, often faster.
That's so funny. Where were you 2 years ago when I was saying no to Invisalign because I was so worried that Evelyn wasn't going to be compliant? And the funny thing was, you nailed it. I based my daughter's compliance on my compliance because I was in Invisalign at the time. And while I was certainly compliant, I'm going to say 5 out of 7 days, probably. I don't want to lie. I was worried of what her compliance would be. And yeah, we opted for braces because I was so worried she was going to be loosening and I was going to be, you know, getting trays reprinted.
Yeah, I would say older teens, like the high school, it's a little rougher for them. But normally the younger kids are super compliant. And then the adults, that's a different story.
The adults are a different story.
There's always an excuse, you know, they want to drink their wine and they want to drink their coffee and they talk all day at work. And so there's different excuses, but if you can get in those 22 hours a day, it's definitely, a great, great way to go.
Now I, completely probably going to get cut from the podcast, but I was in my final set 5 times because my compliance would degrade so much. And it was, you know, I got through it because at some point I was like, this is pretty dumb. I mean, I'm in the industry and for me to be uncompliant is not a good look. So I got with the program, Shelley, but yeah, I was, but tell me when you step into a practice, a GP or an ortho practice that wants to do more clear aligners. Walk me through what you see as the normal steps and, you know, how do you get the team on board? That's such a big element to it. You walk me through just sort of how the stepping stones you see out there.
Yeah. So I think definitely team is everything. And I've worked with practices where the team has been there for 20 years and they are resistant to change. And you know, something else we have to learn, something else we need to talk about. So really, I think making sure that you've got a team that is on board to support your, you know, vision and mission for practice goals. And really, I think educating them really, well, if it's the GP practice, it's the hygienist. You really need to make sure that you get your hygiene team on board with educating and talking to the patients at those 6 month prophy appointments to, you know, talk about clear aligners, look at their bite. Are there food traps? Are there, you know, areas where they're struggling with flossing and things like that? But those GP practices have a built-in patient base that are there every 6 months where you can talk with them. And so I help those offices create a questionnaire, a very short questionnaire that could either be on paper, on a clipboard, or like a QR code. And it's just a matter of all of those patients that come in for those 6 month prophy is letting them know, hey, doctor just wants you to, you know, fill out this, you know, quick questionnaire. And it has some simple questions about, are you happy with your smile? Do you have any airway issues? Do you have any food trap areas? Have you had orthodontics before? Do you have TMJ pain? Just a few questions, have them answer. Those questionnaires go to the TC, and that TC has daily a list of however many patients you see, 10 patient leads that if they checked yes on any of those, that they would be a great candidate to then have that conversation about clear aligner treatment, or if you've got an orthodontist in the office. So that's really the first step, is you've got this patient base, hundreds of patients, thousands of patients that you can, you know, start there. So that's kind of your step one. And then again, just making sure that your team is educated. Everybody needs to know how to talk about orthodontics, and there needs to be proper records that are done at those visits, so that if the TC gets these questionnaires back And, you know, they look through and this person says, yes, yes, yes. Can that TC and the doctor look at whatever current records there are to make a preliminary diagnosis for treatment? So I think that's probably the first step on introducing it. And that's, if that's done consistently and with enthusiasm from the team, it can be really successful. And then from there, then you take it the next step further, where you connect with your wonderful marketing company and make sure that your website reflects that and your SEO reflects that. And then you just kind of build it on from there.
Yeah. I feel sometimes doctors try to do it backwards of they want the promise of patients before they begin to roll out systems, but that's a very difficult sell, because one of the things that happens for us, at least in marketing, there's a book called Crossing the Chasm that this always reminds me of. And you know, it's certainly true for our business. Our very first clients, and likely to be the first people in a practice that get, you know, clear aligners, is going to be friends of the dentist or friends of the team or longtime patients. And,
right.
And then you have to cross this chasm, if you will, of like the next group are not going to be so easy to acquire. They're going to be patients that are looking for something specific. They're going to be a different. And then, you know, as you scale an organization, you have to cross these different chasms of sales, if you will.
Right.
But I love the approach, because for us, we see pretty commonly that the most underutilized asset in a practice is the existing patient base. And that if you look at Dental Intel and other places that aggregate lots of data, some of the big accounting firms that specialize in industry, you see this almost inverse reaction. As new patients rise, you will see production either flatline or even begin to decline on a per patient basis, because it takes time and energy to acquire new patients. And then,
right.
And if that's the primary focus of a practice, which I think it should be a healthy focus, I think you begin to not take advantage of this wonderful asset as the 1600 or 1300, you know, patients that you may have in the practice. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great place to start. And for us, if we can demonstrate excellence, which is just, you know, there's something different about me talking about how good of a marketer I am versus one of our clients talking about our marketing. But if you can demonstrate excellence of that doctor promoting and providing Invisalign to someone, it makes the next sales cycle so much easier.
Right.
I think that's a really wonderful place that you have them start.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's easier for the team to build confidence talking to someone that they know versus right. someone who's trying to call in for an Invisalign appointment. And, you know, I haven't worked out what I'm going to say.
Right.
But I think that's very, very, very well said.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be salesy. It's based, you know, it's the doctor. We're treating whole health. We're treating everything. We want to make sure that you're as happy as possible. Answer these 7 questions. And then based off those 7 questions, again, then this would be a benefit to them. And then you're just starting the conversation and letting them know about those orthodontic services. What does that look like? What is the cost? What's the insurance? All of that. But you're just, you know, one of the things I do with all my teams is you're planting a seed. So all you're doing right now is you're planting that seed, and then you're going to give it some love and some water and some sunshine and revisit it. And it's going to bloom into an orthodontic patient. But you're just, you know, you don't have to be pushy. I think if you approach it as, we want to help you, patient, with whole health. We want you to love your smile. And this is a service that we offer, and we wanted to tell you about it.
Yeah. No, as you get in through that first phase of implementing, you know, orthodontics in a GP practice like that, what are some of the common challenges you have? I know you mentioned having a team not on board or having a team maybe stuck. Walk me through some of the common challenges you see mm-hmm. to their perceived level of success, I'll say.
I'm big on same day starts when I coach all of my, you know, TCs and my practices in general, and being able to capture the excitement of that patient, even in that GP practice, to say, oh, wow, yes, this sounds amazing. I would love to learn more about clear aligners. Like, this tooth has always really, really bothered me. To be able to have the people available as soon as that cleaning and exam is done to take that patient to the next part of that journey, which might be a pan, it might be an iTero scan, it might be intraoral photos. So one, having that technology readily available move them along that next step in that journey. Of course, having a person who's available, who maybe it's a treatment coordinator, maybe it's a backup treatment coordinator, someone that can, I think that's really the biggest challenge is once the hygienist plants that seed, has them with the questionnaire, and if they're getting that dialogue from that patient or, you know, the nonverbal body language that this is something that they're interested in, to take it to the next step and have somebody that can see them after that appointment. I think that's really been the biggest challenge is finding the people available to say, okay, awesome. We're so excited that you're excited. So as soon as your appointment's over, we're going to do a quick iTero scan and you're going to meet with our treatment coordinator to talk about what that looks like and making sure that the ortho insurance has been verified, that they know the fees. And hopefully there's, you know, a doctor available to take a quick look at the records. And if not, then, you know, maybe doing a virtual consultation. So, I mean, I had GP practices that their orthodontist doesn't even work in the office. The orthodontist works in another state and they get the, you know, verbal acceptance of that patient. We do the records and then we schedule that consultation, maybe a virtual Zoom screen share consultation. Within 2 days, they send the records to the orthodontist. Orthodontist comes up with the treatment plan. I mean, you can do a doctorless exam and get started with clear aligner treatment. So there's, I guess it really depends on your space, if you have a consultation room, if you've got the equipment and you've got the person who can speak to them knowledgeably about next steps with getting started.
That's funny. You're hitting on my other area of things that dentists don't, assets that they don't particularly maybe value to the most, and that's the team. I know that hiring is hard, and I know that, you know, we don't have an office right now that's not struggling in some degree of staffing, but it is incredibly difficult to grow an organization when everyone's at capacity to work. Like, you have to cut some things that they're doing, or you have to add resources to get it done. But it is hard to roll out a system as complex as clear aligners and not be able to strike when the iron's hot, just because you lose, it just becomes so frustrating to,
right.
I can see how that's the biggest problem, because I leave, I become less excited. The office starts chasing me, you know, and it just creates this sort of iron triangle of, you know, difficulty in converting a patient all of a sudden. Cause you had me when I was there and excited.
Yeah, right. Yeah, team, you know, team is really everything. And that recruiting piece, absolutely. I do some recruiting as well, because I have a lot of my doctors that are, Shelly, help me. You know, I lost my TC. But I think finding those, I call them difference makers, finding those difference makers that are enthusiastic and genuine and kind, and that are going to represent you and your brand. And then if you hire the right people, the systems of like implementing clear aligners, it won't be hard if you have the right people who are like, awesome. Yes, let's make this happen.
No, when you look at the offices you're coaching and mentoring along this journey, like, is there one that sticks out as they nailed it? And is it the team that was the common denominator there? Or
I think the leadership of the doctor needs to be there. And if that doctor isn't that cheerleader, culture builder, like, that's okay. Not everybody's like that. But then there needs to be someone else who is that extension of that doctor's leadership, operations director, a practice manager, that has that gift of empowering and inspiring the team and getting them excited about it. So yes, definitely the teams that were successful or are being successful with implementing that have great leadership, and they know how to hire the right people. And it's an expectation. And I think a lot of practices will reach out to me and they struggle with team follow through and accountability. And, you know, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Well, you need to have really clear expectations from the get-go. So letting them know, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to do it. This is what everybody is responsible for. Let's get excited and make it happen. Go team.
I saw a podcast you did a couple of days ago on some incentive structures. But if the doctor's not the cheerleader, do you think that pushes the need for more same day start incentives? Or would you say their incentives are part of getting something started under any situation?
The doctor needs to be okay with that same day start incentive. So the doctor mm-hmm. needs to buy in that it works. And I've, like, even me personally, I've done some local TC temping with some of my local clients if their TC's out on vacation or whatnot. And I've done some temping. And I've had doctors who say, I don't want to do the same day start incentive. Like, I don't want it to be pushy. I don't want it to reduce the value of the services here. And I told the doctor, I said, I am so passionate and confident that I will have like 100% conversion today because I do a lot of coaching on Cialdini's principles of influence. And one of them mm-hmm. is the principle of scarcity. And that principle of scarcity is, what am I going to get out of this today that I'm not going to be able to get tomorrow? And whether that's $100 off your initial payment. And I told the doctor, I said, I'm so confident that this is going to work. I will increase your fees by $200 just so I can dangle this carrot of $100 off because the patients are going to buy into it. And if just trust me, let me just do this today. And I had 100% conversion for the whole day. And he was like, okay, can you teach my TC how to do that too? So I think the doctor needs to be bought into it. And even when I work with treatment coordinators and they're like, oh, I don't think my doctor is going to like be, you know, do this. I said, ask him or her, can you let me try this for 1 month, for 2 months, for 3 months, whatever it is, like, give me a chance. And then the TC gets motivated to make that happen. And it works. It definitely works. So the doctor needs to be on board with it for sure. I don't ever want the treatment coordinator to have to like step out of the consultation room to ask the doctor permission for a discount or permission to reduce the initial payment or, you know, whatever it is. They need to, they've built this trust in this relationship with this new patient, and they need to have that authority to be able to see it through confidently to meet the needs of the patient.
Yeah. At our company, we had, I don't know where Andre learned it. He's very well read, but I think it was on like one of the short 7-hour work weeks or 3-hour or 5, whatever it is. But we instituted a rule that if you were going to spend money on a client and it was under $100, so like you're going to send them a handwritten note and you wanted to put send some flowers with her, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like if it was $100 and it was for a client, you should just do it. And do you know that we still got people for probably 2 years that would come to us and say, hey, can I spend $42 on this gift for a client or whatever?
I love that.
And we finally had to kind of start, you know, almost kind of, I hate to say public shaming that, but like, are you really asking, you know, we would kind of publicly be like, are you really asking me this? And we got it. But I think that you nailed it. If I'm there, it really undermines the showmanship of the presentation. It undermines the treatment coordinator's presentation of their knowledge if they have to step out and get approval to move mm-hmm. some money around. Because again, $100 on a you know, $4,000 or $5,000 case is pretty insignificant right. in the grand scheme of things, especially mm-hmm. when it's going to walk out the door and go somewhere else.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that you do that with your team and have them do that with their, you know, clients. It's in my TC Excellence course, I teach the Ritz-Carlton rule. So Ritz-Carlton rule is every employee at the Ritz-Carlton, they have the ability to spend $2,000 per every guest incident because they look at the guest lifetime value. What's $2,000? I love coaching my TCs. Even after the patient has already started treatment, they're an active patient. Don't let the excitement die when they're in the thick of orthodontic treatment and listen and get to know them. And I love having them ask their doctors for same thing. It's $100 budget. If you're listening, if their dog passed away and you want to send them flowers, if they made their club mm-hmm. soccer team, you know, you want to send them a balloon bouquet or, you know, whatever it is, all those little things help with the, not only the retention of that patient, but they're going to tell others about it. And mm-hmm. that's what they're going to talk about. That's what their Google review is going to be about. So I love that you do that with your clients too.
The biggest lie we tell in dentistry is I treat my patients like family. You know, A, no, you don't. And B, that's table stakes for being in the game. I mean, table stakes for being in the game is providing good clinical care to your patients and filing insurance if you take it well. End of story. That is not treating anyone like family, by the way. I think that when you get into the softer side, I saw your Wisdom Wednesdays. I'll send a link to it, but like on the power of a handwritten note. I think calling a patient if they've had any numbing and checking in with them at that later that evening, I think putting a handwritten note in the mail. I think I love the ideas you gave around sending them flowers if their dog passed away, or have the hygienist do something, have the RDAs do something. That is what builds trust with patients. It's not treating them like family. And, right. You know, you nailed it. Yeah. I love the Ritz-Carlton rule, and the offices that apply it to their patients for those things, there is no doubt that creating a culture that incents your practice employees to treat your patients really well has real P&L impact. And it's so powerful. But gosh, Shelley, the practices that you coach do amazing. We love marketing for them because they're so well ran.
Thank you. And I appreciate what you do for them also.
Yeah, I just can't say enough amazing things about how well they speak of you. And you can feel from a marketing standpoint the impact you have on them. And I think that's really powerful. I think you do really right by your clients.
Thank you.
And I think
it's amazing. That's what brings me joy. It makes my heart happy.
Well, gosh, a happy heart is a good heart to end on then, maybe. But Shelley, thank you so much for your time. It's been such a pleasure to have you. And I hope we can do this again. And
thanks.
Keep up your Wisdom Wednesdays. I like them.
I will. Thank you so much, Eric. Thanks again so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.